93 FM.
The PSAs you hear on Miller and Condon and iHeartMedia Des Moines are presented in part by NCMEC. We take care of our own. Now, here's Miller and Condon.
To Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, 106.3 FM. With you until noon, 20 minutes or thereabouts. Dave Sproul, who's currently listening to Matt Campbell's teleconference, will join us. We'll talk Iowa State in 20 minutes with Dave Sproul, KASI, up in Ames. But as promised, to lead off the second hour of the program, we'll recap the U.S. Open. It goes to Bryson DeChambeau. Not a lot of drama in the final round of the tournament. Wingfoot was on full display. Matt Rudy joins us. Matt, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. Matt Rudy, how are you?
It's a beautiful day here in the Northeast. Everybody got to see it on TV yesterday. It's the same day today.
It was absolutely stunning. Yeah, that's one of my takeaways, just how pristine the weather was for that tournament. The other one, of course, was how good Bryson DeChambeau is. I mean, it wasn't fair, Matt, in a lot of ways. He toyed with this course yesterday. Well, Wolf started the day with what I think he was up two going into the final round of the tournament. DeChambeau just, he ate up that course yesterday, and good for him.
Yeah, I think the U.S. Open is designed to elicit mistakes, and it's designed to elicit physical mistakes, and it's designed to elicit strategic, you know, mental mistakes where you just pick the wrong shot. And he never did it. He consistently picked the right shot. And one thing about what he did, you have to give him a huge amount of credit because he decided to change his body. He decided to change his swing. He decided to get all the data and make all of his decisions, you know, strategic decisions based on data, and he held to it, and he did it his way. And there's no other way to say it except he earned every bit of it, and he figured out correctly so that Wingfoot was a great opportunity to hit it super far, because if you can hit wedges, you can even be in that taller grass and it's going to be okay. And he kept with that strategy, and not only that, when you watched him Wednesday, he was hooking it. You know, he was hooking it off the tee. He had some problems with what he was doing, and he went to the range until 10:30 at night and fixed it. So I mean,
jeez,
he's committed. That's for
I'll
sure.
Say.
He is committed to his body and committed certainly to his game. And he burst onto the scene, this goofy guy with this weird idea. All my irons are going to be the same length. I'm going to play this way. I can't even remember what he called that stupid thing. But is this leading to a revolution in the way that us everyday weekend Muni hackers are going to go out there? How big of a star does he become, and can he change the game?
I don't know if it's going to lead to a specific revolution to do it his way, but what I hope it leads to is a revolution toward openness to doing it the way that best works for you. And that could be, you know, that means different things to you or to me or to some other player with different abilities. And I love that about him, where he says, you know, I decided to look at one length irons, and I figured out that it worked for me. And if it gives people in a sport that's been too conservative and, you know, kind of too by the book through the years, the opportunity to open themselves up. I mean, maybe you should have a 7 wood and a 9 wood and an 11 wood in your bag. Maybe you should, I mean, anything that, you know, maybe you should have a super soft R flex shaft in your driver. Maybe you should have a much stiffer shaft in your driver. Any of those questions where you can open up the answers to just beyond the same one or two that you've always heard are what, you know, just what people do. I think that's good for the sport and good for participation for sure.
You know, when Tiger was at his peak, he peaked very early. So early in his career, when he's just bludgeoning everybody on weekends, they Tiger-proofed courses. Matt, you remember that. That was a big phrase. Got to
sure.
Tiger-proof it. So what did they do with they Bryson-proof it? I don't know how you would do that. It's not like you can make these courses any longer for the most part. Will they try to do something to Bryson-proof it?
What's hilarious is that as they went about tiger-proofing golf courses, it did the exact opposite. It made it easier for Tiger to win. And, you know, I think the unsophisticated reaction to people like, you know, who like Tiger hit it super far is to make it longer. But that just means that people who hit it shorter don't have any chance whatsoever.
Right.
And I think the way to quote-unquote proof a tour quality course is to make it shorter and have more options for shots and give players creative opportunities to do something different. Anytime that you make it so that it rewards one particular kind of play, you're favoring one particular category of player over another. If you played a 6,500-yard golf course with wicked fast greens and lots of super tight mowing areas and you know, like they did at Marion at the U.S. Open a few years ago, they just decided that as far as you're going to be able to hit it off the tee is 260 yards. And whatever club you want to hit it to get there, that's fine. But I think if you give shorter hitters options and opportunities to play their game too, that's what makes it a more level playing field, not you know, completely taking the game away from people that don't hit it 300 yards.
All right, so he's huge. He's bulked up in a big way. Are there any whispers about doing it, any shortcuts that he took to get there? Because you just don't see many athletes turn around, and especially a golfer, just that physically imposing and doing it that quickly.
Well, I mean, I have some frame of reference. I've been around Bryson. I'm 6'6", 320. I'm not small. And he's probably 6'2 and a half, maybe 245. And when I saw him before the weight gaining the muscle, I mean, he probably picked up 45 pounds. And, you know, it's easy enough to gain weight, and especially if you're a single guy who likes to watch Fortnite and eat pizza, which he does. And the thing about it is he's not afraid to follow a plan. And if somebody came to him and said, you're not going to do anything socially for 6 months, you're just going to work out, eat a bunch of protein, eat a bunch of carbohydrates, exercise, and do exactly what I tell you, he's the person that would actually follow all that down to the very letter of the law. So I don't think he would necessarily need to do anything to help himself that way. And I mean, he's grown proportionally too. I mean, we've seen players in Barry Bonds where you know, that you get like a freakishly big head or you look like you were chiseled out of marble. He doesn't look like he was chiseled out of marble. He looks like, you know, when you were a 15-year-old, it was like your friend who had a strong dad. That's what he looks like. And I think his body can tolerate what he's doing right now because he's 27, and it's different when you're 37 and different when you're 48 like I am. And I think he's calculated the risks to working out the way he does. He's calculated the risks to swinging the way he does. And I admire the fact that he takes all those factors into consideration when he's trying to decide what to do.
Matt Rudy, Golf Digest, is our guest. Matt, what's happened to Jordan Spieth? He used to be good.
he did used to be good, and I think he still is good. I think he's running into some of the realities that we were just discussing, which is he is a normal-sized, normal-distance human in what's becoming a more superhuman sport. And when he was playing at the peak of his powers, he was easily 25 yards behind someone like Dustin Johnson. And like Bryson, you know, Bryson went on a quest to try to find a bigger body and more distance. I think Jordan Spieth wanted to find more power. He wanted to improve his ball striking and do some of the things physically with the ball that other players were doing. And that's not, I mean, that just gives you more appreciation for what Bryson did, because it's not without risks. You have to be able to find it and own it. And that's not always linear and easy. And you know, he's still trying to do that. And it's especially hard to do it and still compete at the same time, because everybody sees the work product, you know, as you struggle your way through it. And I mean, we've seen it. I mean, Dustin Johnson, he had two rounds that he shot in the 80s this year. And I mean, the guy was, you know, otherwise he was a machine. And some players, I think it takes longer, and the confidence piece is a hard one to gauge. And I mean, I think he can find it, but what he finds, it might not be as dominant as it was before, just because the landscape of other competitive players has changed. There's so many young, strong, talented players, you know, Matt Wolf and Colin Morikawa. There's a lot of good players, and it's harder than ever to win.
All right, Matt, we saw the Iowan Zach Johnson with a ridiculous putt.
He actually played pretty well.
Top 10. Well, what does this say with Zach? It's late in his career. He's changed clubs. His wedge game, which was once elite, isn't at that level anymore.
I think he knocked in a wedge, too. Did he not this weekend? Pretty sure he did a long one.
What does Zach have left in the bag?
I mean, you'll never hear me say a bad word about Zach Johnson because, I put him in the all overachiever category. If you look at what his record is, where he's won majors, where he's won tournaments, and the ultimate compliment is when someone like Tiger Woods says, if I'm playing in a team event, you're the guy I want. I mean, he doesn't back down from anybody, and he doesn't change what he does. He knows what his strengths are, and it doesn't, he's not one of those guys who's getting shamed into trying to do different things that he can't do. I don't think there's any reason he can't have a Jim Furyk style career, which is continuing to do what you do. You can contend in majors that have particularly good setups that suit you, and you keep shooting low scores. And I mean, Jim Furyk just won at Pebble Beach on the Champions Tour. He's won his first two starts on the Champions Tour, and he did it against Ernie Els, who's got more talent in his finger than Tiger Woods has in his body. Yeah. So I mean, if you can travel that path, which is funny because we've been talking about Jordan Spieth and we've been talking about Bryson. You can travel the path where you say, "I'm going to do my thing and do my thing the best I can," and that's the path that he's chosen, and I respect that too.
Yeah, he's ground out a nice living. I think $300,000, a little north of that this weekend. I think that probably was his biggest payday this year. But you're right, the senior tour beckons for him. Matt, away from golf, last thing. Since you're a Michigan State grad, and they will play the Hawks at Kinnick Stadium in week number 3. Michigan State, love the opener. They get Rutgers, but then on the road to Michigan, to Iowa, before finishing Ohio State at home at Penn State. Mel Tucker's first year as a Spartan alum, knowing where the program had been or is at right now. What do you anticipate? What kind of football season will your alma mater have this year?
I think the whole thing is going to be crazy to see it. I mean, nobody knows what does a non-traditional offseason look like. You know, what is it? You know, especially when you have a new coach and a new program, and you didn't have time to install everything the way you wanted to do it. Is it weirdly easier because there's more, isolated time? Is it harder? I don't know. I feel like what I want to do is COVID safely fly to Iowa and come hang out with you guys for that game, and we can watch it together. Tell me what I should be watching.
I'm in. Matt Rudy, Golf Digest. Matt, we will talk to you, if not before that game, certainly before the Masters, which I think is the following. Yes, it is. It will be the following week. Matt Rudy, Golf Digest. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. What are you working on? Anything? I got to think that it's probably hard for you to get out and about and do videos, right?
I'm taking my first flight since March. I'm going to Stillwater, Oklahoma to do Victor Hovland, a big video and the cover story. So we'll see how it goes with all the masks and it's a new world, so we'll see how it goes.
Fingers crossed, Oklahoma State. Boy, they put a lot of guys on the tour, no doubt about that. Thank you, Matt Rudy. Appreciate it.
You bet. Yeah.
Good to talk to you, Matt Rudy, Golf Digest. Oklahoma State puts a lot of guys on the tour.
Isn't it crazy?
This Wolf kid's going to be a player, man. He's 21 years old.
How about the back and forth from him, too? Really good round. Yeah. Bad round. Really good round.
Well, Saturday he got lucky because he hit, two out of 16 fairways in regulation?
That one that just bounced from the deep rough into the first cut.
That was a huge break.
That is nuts.
I think that might have been on 18. It was late in the round.
It was late, They showed it to him when they were interviewing afterwards. I happened to be watching at that time.
Yeah.
And he just got, because obviously from the spot he couldn't see the bounce that it took. And he goes, oh, got lucky on that one. Mm. And that's what he said. I don't know. Watching DeChambeau and watching Wolf and watching these guys from that deep of rough, it's not supposed to be that way.
But boy, oh boy, it was. And again, I didn't watch a ton of it, but when I did, entertained.
I was too, yeah.
Now, there was no drama whatsoever, which was good because it would have been tough to turn the channel from NFL Sunday week.
Especially with the Chiefs struggling like they were with the Chargers.
That was unbelievable. That was unbelievable.
Romo every time impresses me. Every single time.
You know where he was incredibly right yesterday? Anthony Lynn. What was he thinking in overtime? Yeah. You're not going
fourth
to get the
one.
Ball back, right? You're not going to. Go for it.
When a field goal beats you.
That's exactly right. Go for it, man. That was their chance, and they didn't get there. But Yeah, that was an entertaining football game. Desmond King's not happy. Did you see him on Twitter lately?
Mm-mm.
He's piping up that he's not happy that he's not in these games at the end.
Yeah.
I think he makes a valid point, but yeah. Butker, I mean, they line up to kick from 53, right, for in overtime.
Get the false start,
but the kick is right down the middle. No. Back him up 5 yards. Kick number two. Just before the ball is snapped, get the timeout. You're going to ice him. Kick number two right down the middle.
Get one more.
So you're thinking to yourself, can this kid really do this three straight times in a football game? Answer is yes.
He was
not
awesome.
Fair. Not fair.
Just another weapon for this Chiefs team.
They're so good. Tyreek Hill's touchdown from Mahomes when he rolled out to his right, threw it, I don't know how many yards, it was 65 or whatever, through the air. It's not fair.
How about that final drive just to tie the game by the Chiefs, too? Three different false start penalties.
Yeah.
I mean, they had to go
Trent, they were
110
third,
yards.
Third and 20, and Mahomes ran for 21.
Yeah.
It's nuts. Come on.
And then we get them Ravens this week.
A week from tonight, Monday Night Football. Dave Sproul joins us next. He covers the Cyclones for KASI. Matt Campbell's teleconference should be wrapping up as we speak. Dave Sproul will join us when we come back. Miller and Condon till noon. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO and 106. Before 11:30 on a Monday, it's Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. Matt Campbell's teleconference has wrapped up. Gary Patterson made some news this morning when he spoke to the assembled Big 12 Media Valley teleconference. Our guy Dave Sproul, KASI, 1430 in Ames. That's where the Cyclones play in Story County. Dave joins us. Dave, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. Dave Sproul, how are you?
I am fantastic. Good to hear from you guys. Good to talk some Iowa State football again.
Absolutely. Very appreciative that it's back. It's been a long couple of weeks here, Dave. So I guess let's start with the walking wounded. I saw that, according to Campbell, Downing, Hudson, and Kohler are all still day-to-day. We may not see them on Saturday. Did he hint at all who's closest of that trio to playing, or did he leave it kind of wide open?
Yeah, he's leaving that kind of wide open. He did say that Charlie Kohler got some reps in practice, and he said Rob Hudson is in a kind of similar spot to Kohler, so I don't know if that necessarily, he didn't explicitly say Rob Hudson got on the practice field, so I'm not sure if that's exactly what he means or if that means they're both similar in terms of their how close they are to getting back on the field. And he also indicated he'll know more about Trevor Downing by the end of the day, so hopefully when the media gets stuck with Campbell again tomorrow afternoon, we'll know more about his status.
So injuries aside, this team licking their wounds, and good thing, bad thing, after the loss to Louisiana, having this bye week here and ramping up for conference play, what side of the equation would you be on, Dave?
Oh, I never know where to land on that because you can spin it both ways, right? Mm-hmm. If you lose, you know, you get a couple extra weeks to evaluate yourself and improve, you know, going into the Big 12. And you could say, well, if Iowa State wins, then, you know, it's bad to have the week off because it's spoiling your momentum, which I don't believe in anyway. But, you could also say, hey, they lost, and they're probably eager to get right back out on the field and prove that they're capable of playing again, and spending a week off to dwell on it isn't going to do you any good psychologically. So you can spin that any number of ways. The huge difference really is going to be, and you could probably spin this a few different ways, is the fact that Iowa State does have a game under their belt, and they have that video to show and evaluate and improve on, and where TCU doesn't have that, and there's that old, you know, cliche about making your biggest improvement from game one to game two.
Yep.
Iowa State has an opportunity. TCU doesn't. And the flip side of that is TCU doesn't have anything, you know, to give away from their video of a previous game that Iowa State could tip off of. But I would think it, at the end of the day, that advantage goes to Iowa State's corner just because they have that ability to evaluate and improve based on actual game action.
Well, into the Big 12 we will go, and one of the big question marks, knowing that TCU was first up on the schedule, was will Max Duggan be able to go or not after they found the heart issue when they were testing that he didn't know about. So it was a blessing that they tested because they found that. But apparently, according to Coach Patterson, Duggan has been practicing for 2 weeks, and I think the word that he used, he's an option for Iowa State on Saturday. Did you hear what he said and how he said it, Dave? Did it sound like close to the vest or makes it sound like, yeah, he's going to play and he's going to start? Did you? What was your takeaway with the TCU quarterback?
Yeah, he didn't really tip off who's going to start, but he said he has all three of their core primary quarterbacks available, and they have stuff in various packages for those guys. So, yeah, it looks like Dugan is going to be able to go. On whether he starts is certainly a question mark, but he sounded very confident that all three of those guys are healthy and ready to play, and maybe all three, who knows, or at least two of them could see action on Saturday against Iowa State, which would be certainly an interesting wrinkle to that game.
It really is. TCU last year, we went talked about them a little bit last season. Iowa State clubbed them. But outside of that, every one of their other six losses were incredibly tight within a score. What are your expectations, this TCU team? No game underneath your belt, underneath their belt, like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. What do you think we're going to see out of the Horned Frogs coming up on Saturday?
I have no idea.
Yeah. I'm with you.
You know, we didn't get a chance to watch them either, so we can't really draw any conclusions. I think over the course of the season as a whole, TCU is going to be a better team this year than they were last year. They were awfully young, and you mentioned all those close games they played in, and you got to learn something from that, you would think. You know, the old cliche about learning how to win. And they had a freshman quarterback out there virtually every game who was feeling his way through. So I think TCU, yeah, in the long run, they're a better team. Does that show up this Saturday, or is Saturday just the starting point for them? I think, Matt Campbell mentioned it on his portion of the Big 12 teleconference today. Gary Patterson's been there a long time. There's a lot of continuity on that staff. It's a high-quality program. So you go out there, you expect to see the best of what they have to offer. But what that will look like, it's really going to be hard to tell until, the ball is kicked.
Yeah, indeed it is. When you take a look at the transfers, Evans, that five-star running back, he's settled there. I'm not sure where he is on the depth chart. I'd be surprised if he doesn't play. But we are familiar with J.D. Spielman, right? At Nebraska, he was him and Wandell Robinson, but I think Spielman, over the body of his career, he was dynamic. Now he settles in at TCU. Did his name come up with either Patterson or with Campbell, the Nebraska transfer who's found a home now at TCU for this season?
He did not come up specifically, at least the portion of Gary Patterson's Big 12 teleconference that I got to hear. But that's certainly a guy who, he's going to have an instant impact.
Absolutely.
Very experienced and, real quality linebacker at Nebraska. So he's bringing a ton of ability and experience to a defense unit that really needed. They were really kind of rough last year relative to what, Coach Patterson usually throws out on the field there at TCU. And you got you're just a rock solid guy. Almost, I'd compare him to kind of like Mike Rose, what he is for Iowa State. He can be that, Spielman can be that kind of guy for TCU, and he'll certainly be an important piece of defending Iowa State on Saturday.
Full slate of Big 12 games coming up this weekend, 12:30 for Iowa State TCU. What else on the schedule has you excited? You look through the slate here, a couple of big favorites, Oklahoma against Kansas State, Texas on the road for Tech, and yeah, Kansas is playing, they get Baylor on the road. But that West Virginia-Oklahoma State matchup is intriguing, and I don't
Oklahoma
know if you heard
State
Gundy.
Was not good.
Yeah, Spencer Sanders, after his ankle injury, I know he was in a boot going in today to their open media availability, but that, I guess, is the most intriguing game outside of this TCU-Iowa State game. Your thoughts on the slate?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I saw a tweet earlier from Mike Gundy, the Oklahoma State head coach, saying, yeah, they put Sanders in a boot, and they're going to get him out on the practice field Wednesday just see what they got and evaluate from there. So that'll be a big question mark going into that matchup. But West Virginia, I know they didn't play a real tough opponent their first game out, but I think they, in a lot of ways, looked better than I anticipated. So that's really a possibly intriguing matchup. I think Oklahoma-Kansas State is very intriguing in that, Oklahoma just rolled. Kansas State obviously upset at home by Arkansas State, but I think I saw some things from Kansas State that could give Oklahoma fits, or maybe I'm just going off the upset that K-State pulled last year. And hoping to see that again or something close to that. But I think that does have potential to be a pretty entertaining game. And, I'll eat my words, I guess, next Monday when, if you know, the Sooners just blow them off the field in Norman.
Well, the break the K-State gets, they get a lot of their COVID guys that weren't available in week number one. They're getting a good number of those back. How about Brock Purdy? Pressure on Purdy in start number two. He was not good in his first start of the year. I know he was banged up at the end of last year, so it'll be unfair to, you know, to lump those as part of the slate of poor performances that he's had. But he was healthy in week number one. What about the quarterback? Did Campbell reference him at all, and what kind of couple of weeks he has had, or 1 week anyways, leading up to this week of practice game prep for TCU?
Campbell didn't talk about Purdy specifically. He did talk about the team as a whole, just kind of the resolve of getting back to work and putting that loss behind him and moving on. And he had good things to say, kind of what you'd expect Campbell to say about, you know, getting back to work and getting the job done on the practice field during the past week and now moving ahead and focusing on preparation for TCU. And I think with Brock Purdy, the thing about him is, and it's kind of a cliche in the sense that, you know, players put more pressure on themselves than any outside force really could. I think that's very true in Purdy's case in particular. He's very unflappable, very calm, but at the same time, you know, he's got that desire, that competitiveness within him. So he's really a self-motivated kind of player to get in there and work hard and improve. And so there's no doubt that he's going to be focused on having a better outing this week than he did against Louisiana.
Schedule is out for a week from Saturday, Oklahoma at Iowa State, and either 11 a.m. on Fox or 6:30 on ABC. It will be a national broadcast. And it's between that and the TCU at Texas game, which one will be 11 on Fox, which one will be 6:30 on ABC. We find that out. Dave, regardless of the start time, will there be any fans in attendance?
Oh, that's a really good question. And my gut is, I'm going to say yes.
Me too.
Probably maybe go on a limb. I didn't get a chance yet today to check out where the COVID numbers are settling right now on campus and Story County as a whole, but I got to think they're still getting better. Kids at the Ames School District are going back in the hybrid, 50% kids in class starting today. So that's good news on that front. And so things are trending in the right direction. So I think you'll see, and at the end of the day, it'll probably be 25, maybe 30% of capacity. Athletic Director Jamie Powell was on the radio show last week. I think he'll be on again tonight, and this will probably come up. He said that they'll approach it the same way they did with game one initially, and that, you know, the first plan was go to 50%, then that kind of declined based on the number of ticket holders who wanted to opt out and either not take the risk or not be a part of that experience without tailgating and all that. And that number, he expected that would continue to decline in response to, you know, whatever happened last week, whether it be on the field or just the response again to the policy change and all that. And I think by the time it's said and done, the number is going to settle into a sort of percentage of capacity that's going to be more in line with what we've seen in places across the country, whether it be, you know, places in college where they've allowed it to 25% capacity, or in the NFL where they've had some limited capacity. And so I'm going to be optimistic. I'm going to say there will be fans, at least a few, in the stands for Iowa State, Oklahoma, beyond the band and the family and friends we saw against Louisiana.
Yeah, I'm with you. And so you'll have a football game this week, right? Because Ames is, now that they've gone to the hybrid model, will they play as soon as this week, Dave, the Little Cyclones?
Yep, they can get back to practice today. The Ames School District Board made the decision last Thursday. So starting today, they have kids back in classes at 50% of capacity. And so they can resume practices today and get ready for Friday's game. And we can assume that at least Friday night when they meet Ankeny Centennial, they'll be good to go. And then they come back home again next Friday. And beyond that, we'll see what Des Moines does today, because the last regular season game for Ames is supposed to be against Des Moines East. And it sounds like the Des Moines School Board is going to figure out how they're going to approach things by the end of the day here. And so we'll find out if Ames will get those last three, four games on the schedule in. But I got to tell you, I'm pretty excited to get back on the sidelines and get behind the microphone for a high school game. And I never thought you'd take it for granted. I mean, you think about, if you want to talk about longtime rivalries, Ames and Marshalltown have played each other nearly every year for over 100 years. Jeez. I think in that span, they've only missed, last week was only the third time that they did not play each other during the course of a season, which is incredible to think about. So, you know, for those kids to kind of miss out on a fun tradition like mm-hmm. that is too bad. But I am excited to see him get back on the field against an Ankeny Centennial game that also, you know, is looking for their first win of the season.
Yeah, it's been a struggle for Pizzetti's team, no doubt.
Good stuff, Dave Sproul. We'll talk to you on Friday. Thank you.
You bet. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, as were we. Dave Sproul, KASI up in 1430 on your AM dial in Story County. So that's good. Spielman, he had a brain cramp. But there are two transfer linebackers at TCU. One of them's from LSU.
Okay.
As a freshman on the national championship team, he played in 11 games.
Little pedigree there.
I'd say. Yeah, look, they're salty. TCU's...
And Patterson, when he has these dips, they bounce back seemingly every single time that has happened.
And then he's playing very close to the vest. He's not naming a starter, but Dugan's been practicing for a couple of weeks. They haven't played a game. They have not played a single game. So we'll see. Iowa State right now a 4 to 4.5 point favorite at the books in Vegas. And, of course, here at DraftKings, William Hill on your app as well. Mr. Monday Night's got to make an appearance here tonight.
Uh-huh. Got a lean.
Do you? Good.
Have a lean. What do you think? This game would feel so different if there were going to be fans in the stands.
The city of Las Vegas would be just going crazy.
Could you imagine the build-up, the lead-up to this game if that was the case? Just thinking of when hockey got there.
Well, you know the bad part about it is you have to cross the interstate from the strip. You don't for the, what's the name of the, T-Mobile.
T-Mobile, yeah.
You don't. It's right behind the MGM? Monte Carlo used to be there? Yeah. But you have to cross the interstate. So I don't know if they've put a walkway over top of it or not.
Which they have those.
Because you would love to get primed up for the game on one of the strip hotels, right?
Of course.
Before you head across the street. But yeah, it's on the other side. And
is there anything over there? Have they built
industry. No homes. Well, I shouldn't say that. There's a few. It's a bad part of town. Okay. On the other side of the strip, right where it's at, is not the...
Rough?
I just didn't spend any time there. But it's kind of, in car parts... junkyard was.
Mm-hmm. So are they going to build up like bars and restaurants?
Oh, I'm sure
over
that
there?
They will.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they will. But we'll find out what Mr. Monday Night thinks of the game.
No Michael Thomas?
He's out, huh? They've ruled him out for sure?
Yeah.
Well, that's a blow.
Yes.
Oof.
Wide receiver crew's a little different. Well, we'll get into it.
All right. We'll take a final timeout, come back, wrap things up. Of course, Murph and Andy coming up at 2 o'clock. Fanatics at 4. Coaches show that Dave Sproul was referring to. The Iowa State Coaches Show tonight goes at 6:30. Just real quick, wrap this up. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma, Iowa State will either play at 11 on Fox or 6:30 on ABC. TCU, Texas is the other game that's in consideration. One will be in one slot, the other will be in the other. What do you want?
For me personally?
Yeah, selfishly.
I'd have to look at the rest of the slate that day to figure that out. Has that been announced? Do we have SEC start times?
Here's what we have so far that I can tell you. 11 o'clock, the competition will be South Carolina, Florida. And then the 6:30 slate, the ESPN game is Auburn, Georgia.
Oh.
That's pretty good tilt.
I like that.
Over on the SEC, LSU, Vanderbilt, not much. But those are the games that we know. What else is slated for TBA if they've penciled anything in yet?
I want a night game.
I do too.
Yeah,
I do too.
Plus the ABC broadcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Get Herb Street on the call. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Forgot about that.
I mean, we love the Fox team, especially Joel Klatt.
Yeah, he's terrific.
He's awesome. Yeah. But ABC, there's something special.
I'm with you. I hope that's where they get. TCU, Texas.
There's
is
my
the
vote.
Other one.
Where do I vote at?
You don't, Trent.
Should I send that in?
No, you don't. Yeah, it won't get
is
there
an
time.
Absentee ballot
you
for this?
You won't get there in time. Oh, okay. Quarter before noon, Miller and Condon take you with one more segment to go. It's 1460 KXNO. One more. Boy, 50 years ago today, our sporting lives changed. 50
years
ago today, that music played for the very first
time.
Really?
Yes, indeed. 50 years. God, I'm old. I remember.
Do you remember?
Yes. Maybe not game one, but a lot of them. 50 years ago today, Monday Night Football. I think the Jets were part of it. Now, not that I remember the game, mm-hmm. but I believe I saw a story, Joe Namath and company. But, yeah, Monday Night Football, 50 years old today. Happy birthday, Monday Night Football.
Been part of my life. Also, it's
your
Earth, Wind, and Fire Day today.
It is. September 21st.
We were talking about that with Heather a little bit earlier today.
She didn't know what.
Yeah.
Till today. Why is he playing that? Yes, indeed. Anyway, so Monday Night Football tonight. Mm-hmm. 50th anniversary, it's the Raiders and it's the Saints, and the Saints are in the desert, and they're giving five and a half to the Raiders. I think you grabbed the points, Mr. Monday Night, but you're the expert.
I play one on the radio, and we will grab the points in this game. Mention Michael Thomas. Dirty secret, Drew Brees?
No, here's a dirtier secret, Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
He's not good. He's not, no, I shouldn't say that's not fair. He's not the Ben Roethlisberger that we expect.
He didn't bounce back in the highest of heights.
I thought he missed a lot. He underthrew a bunch of balls. He mm-hmm. was wide on, he wasn't accurate yesterday. Now, where you're going on Drew Brees, you think you're seeing the end from him?
They weren't able to run the football against the Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. That week one game was so weird.
It's a pretty good defense, Tampa Bay.
It is. That's a good call. And I agree with you on that front. Or just something, the offensive line, which returned basically everybody mm-hmm. from a year ago, which was a really good offensive line. I don't know. I just, even in a victory, I didn't love what I saw from New Orleans in week one. Are the Raiders great defensively? No. They're going to give some points up here.
Yeah.
This would be easy. If this was the number at 5.5 and there are people in the building, no mm-hmm. doubt. New building opening up. People going to be nuts. We'd be grabbing. I'm still going to grab it here. There's still going to be enough buzz. I love Jacobs. Carr's fine. He's adequate.
He's okay, yeah.
At the quarterback position.
The tight end Waller's elite. Okay. By the way, speaking of soon-to-be elite tight ends, there's another Hawk that's about to join that. Maybe not George Kittle yet.
No offense.
No offense, going to be a star.
That juggling catch that he had on the sideline.
Got both of his feet in somehow. He's going to be really good, Trent.
Hockenson, they get him involved a lot of different ways. How about my Lions? I love that pick. I'm 14-0. That's when you're already counting money.
How long does Matt Patricia get? I mean, Patricia...
He's going to be fired like week 10, right? Before Thanksgiving.
Who else joins him? Does Quinn in Atlanta?
Yeah.
Does Zimmer in Minnesota?
If this goes really bad, I think so. Yeah,
they're awful.
If they're 5-11, bad. I think Zimmer walks the plank.
If they're 5-11, Viking fans are hoping that they're 2-14 Trevor Lawrence is the price.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think
that's a bad football team.
There's going to be a lot of coaches. Gase
gone,
dead man walking.
Gone for sure. Fangio,
yeah, probably.
Mm. These guys aren't losing their job this week, but these are guys that,
O'Brien their seat's getting warm.
There's another one, O'Brien in Houston. Although he's got control of that franchise. I don't know how.
Right.
I don't know what he did, but he's got control of that franchise.
If the Chargers don't make the playoffs, Lynn is done.
Yeah, and you know what? The Chargers can make. Justin Herbert yesterday, did you see any of that?
He's good.
He wasn't bad, was he?
Yeah.
I was really surprised.
20 minutes before the game, hey, you're starting.
Yeah, I thought that there must be some shenanigans being pulled here because all of a sudden, I mean, even Nance and Romo didn't expect it.
Right. He's a dude. I mean, he's a big kid.
Yeah, he is.
He pushed back a couple of linebackers mm-hmm. a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
He's got some physicality to
him. I think the Chargers feel pretty good about their car. That's mm-hmm. a good football team. Injuries like crazy. Christian McCaffrey, 4 to 6 weeks. Barkley's out for the season. Hooker with the Colts is out for the season. I haven't seen anything yet, Solomon Thomas or Nick Bosa, although Nick Bosa, the speculation was there that he's gone for sure. He took a cart ride. Boy, it was a bad day as far as injuries yesterday in the NFL. Week
Sutton,
number two.
Your guy?
Yeah, Cortland Sutton might be gone for the maybe for the year.
Mm-hmm.
Not good. Oh, well. You know what? If they're going to be bad, I don't need them to be the worst.
Right.
That would be nice pride. Mm-hmm. Sewell, the left tackle from Oregon.
It's a good building block.
Oh, my gosh.
Guy that got Heisman votes last year.
Yeah, he's a 10 to 12 year. Plug him in, let him play tackle. Maybe
Orlando Pace was the last offensive lineman that was in that kind of consideration. Yeah. That turned out pretty well for the Rams.
Yeah, I'll say. All right, we've got Murph and Andy coming your way today at 2 o'clock. They're in their normal spot. So, Mr. Monday Night, taking the points.
Going to grab the 5.5.
Grabbing the 5 and the hook for Mr. Monday Night. Murph and Andy, 2, Fanatics 4, Iowa State. Your coach's show comes your way at 6:30 right here on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. The Morning Rush will be back on the radio tomorrow morning in their normal spot at 6. We're Miller and Condon. We take over 10 to noon. Monday through Friday on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. Have a great day.